You know, it is a great source of pride that Texas is singled out as having this enormous commitment to wind, and now solar is growing like crazy. If you drive out to West Texas, you will see nothing but windmills. The problem is that's offsetting, that energy is offsetting a lot of the income that this state got for a lot of different purposes, and we're facing shortfalls. If you need the background on it, I direct you back to the Dallas Morning News this past weekend to an outstanding op-ed that was written by Dr. Bernard Weinstein, who's the Associate Director of the McGuire Energy Institute and also the Adjunct Professor for Business Economics at SMU. And he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, David.
It's all I've ever heard about in Texas is that, you know, we have all this residual income from oil and gas, and the state permanent school fund has got a AAA gold rating and everything else because of the income. How big are the shortfalls likely to be, do you think?
That's hard to say, but keep in mind that according to the Texas Comptroller, about 25% of all state tax revenues are generated either directly or indirectly by the oil and gas industry. So that works out to about $35 billion a year. Obviously, with lower prices, lower production as a result of the pandemic-induced recession, those revenues are going to go down. But they're not just going to go down temporarily, they're going to go down permanently because of this big shift to renewable energy that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I think about gasoline tax. I mean, one of the reasons gasoline is so expensive and different in every state in cost is because of the taxes that are levied on it. And I don't think in Texas, I don't think we tax gasoline near as much as other states do. But every electric car means that you're not getting that income off the gasoline now.
Oh, that's true. And it's something that the legislature needs to think about. We're seeing a big push towards electrification. Certainly that will be the case with the Biden administration. As more and more vehicles on the road are electric, that means they're not paying into the trust fund from the revenues generated by the excise tax on gasoline and diesel. So that's another potential reduction in revenues in the years ahead. So what this all means, I think, is that the legislature has got to start thinking seriously about perhaps restructuring the state local revenue system, because I don't think it's going to do the job in the future because of what's happening in the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, the reality of politics are, though, that nobody's going to vote for that because all of them have to run for reelection frequently, and you're going to be running as the guy who raised your taxes.
Yes, we've confronted this before, and what the ledge has done, instead of raising taxes, they will, say, expand the base of a tax. So we've seen a number of cases over the past decade where the legislature has voted to broaden the base of the sales tax to include more business and personal services. We may see more of that when they meet in January of 2021 and are looking at a shortfall that could be as large as $20 billion. And yeah, we've got about $10 billion in the rainy day fund, but that's not going to cut it. And speaking of cutting, the legislature may simply opt to cut spending, but keep in mind that we're pretty close to the bottom among the 50 states when it comes to expenditure on lots of services.
How realistic is this for the legislature to confront? I really don't know the statute. I guess we can't go deficit spending, but is this will they attack this for sure?
They're going to have to come up with a budget that is balanced. They allege can dip into the rainy day fund. They don't like to do that, but I think that will be the case, you know, given the new pandemic realities. It's virtually impossible to adopt a personal income tax in this state. In fact, we have a constitutional amendment that poses all kinds of barriers that you have to jump over to get a personal income tax. So that's off the table. And as you suggest, finding new revenue to keep Texas and its local governments adequately funded is going to be a daunting task. You talk about, you know, maybe levying some type of tax on electric vehicles. At the same time, maybe we should think about increasing the state gasoline tax. I don't think it's gone up since the mid-1990s.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe this may be heresy, but instead of subsidizing all these wind and solar farms, maybe it's time to start taxing them.
Well, there is one alternative, and that is to cut your budget. Is that an option?
Well, yes. Yeah, but are we going to cut the budget $10 to $20 billion in the next biennium? I think that's going to be really tough, and school districts are hurting, not only because of the loss of property tax revenue, but because of all the additional expenses that they've had to incur to cope with the pandemic and make the classroom safe. It's going to be a real ugly session next year, let's face it.
I don't think anybody's going to look forward to going to Austin. Well, I guess at least what you've done is you've laid out the dilemma for them if they didn't know it. And now we'll sit back and see if we've got any politicians or whether we have statesmen, maybe.
Well, look, David, there are no easy choices. But this energy transition is real. And that means we're going to have to eventually modify our revenue structure or significant cuts in basic services.
And one would think that if wind and solar are offsetting that, then that's going to be that'll have to be the source of income. I don't know if that'll act as a detriment to, you know, building in our state, but that would seem like the most logical answer, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I don't think logic has much to do with it. I think we'll see a lot of posturing. In the past, instead of increasing taxes, we've increased fees. You know, we've got fees left and right. Just look at your utility bill. Again, it's going to be a real complicated legislative session, you know, dealing with revenue shortfalls, dealing with the fallout from the pandemic.
Yep.
But, hey, listen, every other state's facing this as well. I guess I would argue that compared to the other 49 states, we're in relatively good shape. We've got an economy that has grown faster than that of any other state. We've seen job growth, population growth. So we're going to get through this. But as I keep saying, it's going to be an ugly legislative session.
It is. We'll try not to watch. Dr. Bernard Weinstein is the Associate Director of the McGuire Energy Institute and Adjunct Professor of Business Economics at SMU. It's always good to spend some time with you. Thank you, sir.
Good to talk to you, David.
Keep writing the good pieces. For more of our conversation with Dr. Weinstein, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.